Welcome to the Innovation Today podcast, where we speak with today's technology leaders about how they're innovating to stay ahead of changing industry dynamics and reaching new levels of productivity and automation. Brought to you by ServiceNow, your partner in digital transformation.
Thank you today for joining us for another episode of the Innovation Today podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Biemiller, a field innovation officer here at ServiceNow. And today, we are super excited to welcome Trish Beltran, Manager of ESG Advisory Services at RSM. Welcome, Trish.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on today. So we're kind of pivoting towards a new area of conversation. We've done a few different verticals in the past, and now we're focusing in and honing in on ESG. And you get to be our first guest for ESG. So thank you for launching us off into this new fun conversation. Specifically, we're kind of trying to start to wonder around why companies should care about ESG, which it's already at the forefront of their minds, and it's already kind of in a lot of the dialogue that I'm sure you and I both have with the clients that we talk to. But we want to start to understand how they can think about taking steps into action towards better practices around ESG. So first, before we kind of get into the nitty gritty of it, I'd love to learn a little bit more about yourself, Trish, a little bit about your role and maybe what sparked you about ESG to get excited in there.
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm an ESG advisor, and what I do there is I assist our clients in maturing their ESG strategy. That's what it is in plain point. But being an ESG advisor, what I do is I empower our clients with industry insights, a landscape of the regulation and the evolution of that, how it might affect them, and then giving them an overall education of ESG. In addition, I also give them tools to assist them in either beginning their ESG journey or enabling that continuous growth of their ESG maturity. So with that, there's definitely a lot more push in the talking about it and really putting it at the top of the agenda. Of course, we've heard about the environmental aspect, right? Seeing global commitments to limit global temperature rising. But in addition to that, businesses and investors are also recognizing that ESG is a key factor when they're assessing long-term sustainability and financial performance of a company. And then for me specifically, I would say I would be in that generation that really is looking more for intentionality and accountability. So I'm just super pumped that I get to do something that I'm passionate about that definitely aligns with the professional skill sets that I've been able to do as I've been going through my career.
Yeah, how cool is that? Aligning the passion with what you get to do on a day-to-day basis. That's so great. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't assume that the audience knows what ESG is. So would you mind kind of expanding our horizons on what ESG is in general for the lay of the land and then maybe what it means to you?
Yeah, sure. So ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. So these are the three pillars for a holistic, sustainable corporate strategy. The environmental considerations, so everything in the E pillar, includes a company's impact on the environment, the planet, and its approach to issues such as climate change, pollution, and resource use. So for social consideration, these include a company's impact on both internal and external people. So its impact on society, its treatments to employees, relationships with suppliers, impact on communities, all that in which they operate. And then lastly, the G pillar, the governance considerations include how a company governs its E and S initiatives. And it also includes companies' leadership, management practices, overall approach to risk and transparency.
Awesome. Wow. That's a great definition. Thank you for providing such thorough insight into it. I think the G has been around for at least in the ServiceNow realms. We've been working on the G for a long time. We understand risk and how to help companies manage their risk. We understand how to govern around policies. But I've been pretty excited to see the E and the S components start to be at the forefront of conversations these days. So it's nice to be able to kind of have that expansion around governance that we've always had a liking to, or at least an adherence to, and now expanding it into the realms of how we affect how the companies and actually the individuals that work at the companies affect the greater good of both the environment and the society that they work in. So I'd love to learn more about why maybe you think that companies or why in general RSM thinks that companies should care about pursuing ESG.
Yeah. So I'll give kind of a two-ish type of answer. Starting with one, I brought up earlier that I'm part of that generation that really cares about intentionality. Well, from that aspect, it's really seeing, right, the millennials and the Gen Z being part of the workforce. But that includes obviously the workforce of those companies that are our clients or future customers. So they're getting into that level where they will have those decision-making powers. And for them to be part of that discussion, we need to be able to part of the conversation where we're able to get their ears. And so for companies that probably aren't really thinking about it, if they want to be part of the market that really cares about what they're saying they're doing and not just kind of splashing some random big, bright-eyed, shiny thing, then this is the reason why you should be doing it, is because you want to play in the market. You want to be in the business still, and the companies that will be making the decisions for you to put as your customers will be wanting more out of you than just that shiny thing. But in the other aspect, because you also brought up our firm, RSM, so the other projects that we've seen with our eyes in terms of helping and assisting our clients or those that come to us and really started to embed ESG into their strategy, definitely seeing a whole bunch of different benefits, but some of which include better long-term financial performance, better risk management, better attraction and retaining of their employees. Because like I mentioned, right, the generation is coming into the workforce. So they really want employees who share their value. Another aspect is attracting investors, because they're starting to incorporate that into their investment decision-making as well. And then meeting social and regulatory expectations. So there are already regulations that's evolving in the space. So by embedding this, you're making yourself compliant. And then lastly, just overall positive impact. So companies that prioritize ESG issues not only can make a positive impact on the environment and society, right, the people and planet, but in just putting goodness in the world, like, I think that's just an amazing thing. And obviously, in terms of business, as you're doing all these good things, and obviously it's probably getting publicized, it's probably getting shared on social media, wherever, you're also getting positive reputation back to you, which could only enhance any business opportunities for you. So I think there's just so many plus on both sides. Why not do it?
Well, I think maybe the counter argument, I don't want to paint a negative picture on it, but I'll just play a little bit of devil's advocate in that. I think the counter argument is, well, I got so many other things that I could spend my money on from a company standpoint, and I get a certain amount of budget per year, and now maybe I'm cutting heads or having to do layoffs or reprovisioning of individuals. So the thought there is, of course I want to do good as a company. I think we all want to do good as humans, at least let's hope so. But it's sometimes other high priority items may take our direction off of that maybe your fluffier thing of trying to do good in the world per se. So I'm curious to what, like how you might counter that argument of like, okay, well, I'm trying to do so many things and I only have budget to do certain amount of things, where I don't know if I can fit ESG into the conversation and into the spend that I have this year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, sure. So companies are definitely having this discussion, and I've had them with prospects and also current clients as well. And what I tell them is they're already having these discussions. So to some of the things that you were saying, whether it's budget reshuffling or resource realignment, well, think about ESG as another aspect that would be just embedded in those discussions already, not a totally different off topic that now you have to put together a whole new thing. But if you were trying to think about, hey, where are we trying to expand ourselves, where are we planning to create new products, then you're already researching what are the trends and topics that's being talked about. So if the product that you need to think about is something more sustainable, then that's already within the discussion of, okay, this is the type of new product that we're making. Maybe we need to make it a little bit more sustainable. How do we do that? It's already part within your R&D part of the project. If you're planning to expand into markets, same thing. What is the audience of that market? The market is obviously asking for more transparency. So thinking about your marketing strategy, how you plan to get into that space, it will already be part of the discussion. Or if it's not, it's so easy to just make it part of the discussion because you're already broadening how you plan to do something because you know that you kind of need to be with your bare bones in a way if you're trying to just reshift and redo a couple things to make sure that you can prioritize correctly.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's almost like a foundational layer of including it in this reshuffling, this as your budgets come up for either quarterly or New Year's. Like it's putting it at the forefront and just including it in the conversations that you're already having. It doesn't have to be this big, scary thing, like you said earlier, that sometimes gets perceived as earlier as I have to take on a whole nother juicy nugget of ESG over here. It's actually at the forefront of every single planning potentially session that you have.
Yeah, exactly. Because ESG is a horizontal, so it's going to affect so many different work streams all across your company. So either way, each of those departments, work streams, and you know, different ways, however you organize the company, they're all going to have some type of planning session, strategy session, and then execution of whatever comes out of that. So all across those topics and conversations, just saying to introduce it all across, because it'll just make it easier. It'll just flow where you're trying to go anyways.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I've kind of seen this start to happen, at least internally in our organization, is we put this trajectory out there of being net zero by to 2030, I believe is our target. And, you know, that can kind of feel like almost an arduous goal because it doesn't like, how do I turn that into something that I can do today to help me get to it? But I think what's beautiful about partners like yourselves and, you know, software that allows us to start to dissect this down and track it on a more tangible basis on, you know, quarterly, weekly, and even monthly levels. I think it makes it a little bit more understandable. Like we can take that goal of 2030 and turn it into something that actually feels like we're progressing towards it. So in that same context, how can you maybe frame it for customers to start thinking on that line when they have these longer term goals, but they want to divide it down into something that's maybe a little bit more actionable today and over the next quarter and over the next year that they can attain that net zero goal by XYZ date?
Yeah. So I would also take kind of a two-part approach to this because sometimes we're seeing a lot of these statements arise and we don't necessarily know if there's actual action plans behind them.
Right.
Because the statements have these really far out years.
Sure.
Or just more of a hope. So I think what would be best for these is, one, did you make the statement just because everybody was making a statement? So then two, really trying to figure out then, okay, now you've put something out there, so you should probably start to think about a programming around that. But before you could do that, you need to first understand what did you just make a statement about? So starting probably at the foundational level of, do you know what is a greenhouse gas? Do you know what your current emissions are? So with that, what we typically say is, hey, do you have a carbon inventory? If not, you need to start building that inventory. You need to go to that exercise, learning to classify the difference between your scope 1, 2s, 3s, identifying where you have the most impact, what's most material, where's your consumption activities, right? So you have a real holistic view of your emissions. And then from there, you have your base year. Once you have your base year, you just feel more comfortable now to actually develop whatever that goal was. And if you already had a goal, that's totally fine. But now you can feel more comfortable to have sub targets that would make most sense as you already have a better understanding of how wide your different inputs are to what is your end consumption, what is your end number that you have to report out there. And then from there, as you already have this base number, you should also try to understand what are the different options that you have. So whether it be the renewable sources, sustainable products, embedding sustainable practices like transportation, procurement processes, or there's also carbon offsetting programs that, you know, would help you reduce your footprint. But I would just look at that as an after option after you've already tried to figure out how you would probably reduce or actually reduce your emissions. But just really the first step is understanding where you are. That way you have a better pulse check on now what is feasible for your company to do. And then you can have a better target that you're comfortable with that is externally out there, because companies, your stakeholders, your investors, customers are going to hold you accountable to that year. So if you have a number that you're comfortable with, and then now you can really start to think about the different action plans that would relate to that, because you understand how big your consumption or emissions are, or how or where it's coming from, or how material it is in terms of your company's operations, then it'll also be easy to figure out, you know, what vendors you're using, what is the just the activities, the heavy activities in that space, to really start to figure out that reducing type of mentality, and then being able to obviously track it, like you mentioned earlier, because that's also the big part of it, is that now that you've had this big conversation, you just created your base year, you have your inventory, you definitely have to make a management plan so that you can hold yourself accountable to what you're saying that you plan to target your company to reduce by a certain amount.
Absolutely. Yeah, so crucial is having that understanding of where to start. Like, I think of a New Year's resolution, for example, say you're going to lose 10, 15 pounds. Well, if you don't know where the heck you are on the scale to start, or body fat percentage, whatever it might be, if you don't know where you are, you're kind of blindly going in the direction of, I think I'm doing better, but I don't necessarily know, right? It's the same idea. It's maybe even worse as we blow it up into a large organization of throwing a goal out there, but maybe having less idea around how to track it. So getting that lay of the land, I think you called it a base year. I love that understanding around it of, hey, let me level set with where I'm at first. Let me see how that maps towards that trajectory that I'm going. And then I can make the plan accordingly with, you know, lovely individuals like yourself that can get me there or help to get me there.
Yeah, definitely.
So we haven't hit on it too much here, but I know that it seems, at least in our previous conversations, you and I have chatted a little bit about where the regulations are happening in Europe and almost how they're a little bit further along than us over here in the States. What can we learn from that? Is there anything that we can maybe bring over from what's already happening over there from a regulation standpoint and get ahead of it before it even comes into our realms in the United States?
Yeah, so definitely on that point, Europe has traditionally been a leader in implementing and enforcing ESG standards in companies. So they've already had understanding and focus towards sustainability, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, promoting renewable energy, all of these items. So in terms of tracking and reporting, the European companies have already been required to comply with ESG reporting regulations and just other reporting items that would be in compliance with those regulations. So one of which is the EU Non-Financial Reporting Directive, which is NFRD. That's been in effect since 2014. So basically companies or large public companies have to disclose information on environmental and social performance, as well as information on diversity within their boards. So these reports already exist.
Oh, wow.
In relation to CSRD, which is the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, that was voted to replace NFRD that I just spoke about late last year in November as a new standard for EU ESG reporting. About 525 in favor, 60 against, which basically says that they're very much for it. So it's expected to get adopted in June of this year. So what it means is that more expansion of companies that have responsibility in reporting these items now extends to all large EU companies, including EU subsidiaries of non-EU parent companies with more than 250 employees, turnover of more than 40 million euros, total of assets of 20 million euros. So just a whole bunch of different categories and thresholds, but in all aspects, more expansion. In addition to these reports that I was just mentioning, there's also other ESG frameworks that companies have either or voluntarily already started to report on or has been made mandatory as well to report on, one of which is TCFD, which if you're a public company in the US, you obviously report to SEC. So what we've heard is that they're coming out with the climate-related proposed disclosure. So that one has been in talks all last year. There was also an open commenting period. And then now we were told that we're going to find more around April time. But for you to get prepared for that, it's so great that there is the European companies that have already started to report on these, because the SEC has basically gotten some, what's the word?
Almost like inspiration, or at least.
Thank you. Yes, inspiration along those guidelines. So being able to track and report your climate risks, understanding, again, that scope one and two that we just spoke about, all of that is already, we can start to prepare for it instead of waiting for the regulation to come. And I think what people say, what is it, drop in bricks or something? I don't know. But basically, companies just feeling like they won't be prepared. I think we can really take this time to understand what the other countries are already reporting on, what we are thinking we might have to start to report on. So instead of waiting, we can begin to have these just very casual, organic conversations on how we think we're going to do that as a company. Then it'll be much easier once they do finally make up their minds. Luckily for everybody, right, it's taking a little bit longer because it's such a big ask all across, but we are able to understand what could be expected, and it's going to be kind of in that phased approach. So even in ESG as a whole right now, what I just mentioned, SEC is doing more climate related, then we know we can start with the E piece, and then it's just going to go from there. So it's definitely a phased approach. It's not going to be, you know, give me everything at the moment. And they're also putting thresholds of different years being report by a certain year, do a review a certain year, and then potentially assurance by a certain year. But the regulators know as well that companies will need to figure out how to embed this into their overall discussion and strategy. So they have already implemented, you know, the different types of thresholds that would make sense for who probably should be reporting at which aspect in time.
Yeah, that makes it so much more approachable to not feel like it has to be done overnight, especially for large organizations, which tend to move a little bit slower from time to time, right? So if you give me an understanding that, okay, this year I have to get my base year under wraps to understand my lay of the land and maybe get some numbers around ESG. Okay, great. I feel like I can do that. Then next year I have to start making an action plan to try and reduce some of those numbers towards the trajectory of whatever that giant goal is that I'm hitting towards in 5 to 10 years.
And exactly.
Then the accountability comes in somewhere along the way, right?
Exactly. Just take steps, baby steps. It's okay. Nobody is asking you to just publish everything and you need to be the most sustainable company. This is also what we tell our clients. One, you're not starting from scratch. You probably have current initiatives already that are towards that way. So you just need help bucketing on what probably falls in the ESG category. Second, you don't need to be that sustainable company that I just said earlier. You could just do it in steps, because the whole point is that you're tracking it, you're holding yourself accountable, and that you're working towards being a more sustainable company. So the whole point is being transparent on where you actually are. Do you have programming and what you want to do? Are you reporting it, holding yourself accountable, and then letting us know about it? If you don't meet a certain item, then we hope that you do tell us how you plan to get yourself back on track. And if you look at all the different guidance, all the different regulations that are coming out, it really is just plain and simple that really accountability and ownership of what you're doing. Just being able to produce what you're saying you're doing, not just kind of putting random words and, you know, that term greenwashing that's happening.
Yeah. I think part of those larger numbers that you see out there when a company commits to being net neutral by a certain time is that public accountability. So it forces them to have conversations with RSM and with people like yourselves to say, hey, I've made this big promise and I want to answer that promise, because the public is going to hold me accountable for it. I mean, investors will literally make decisions on if they're going to invest in that company based on how they're trending towards that metric. So this public accountability, I actually think is a good thing. And it allows us to help put a plan around it for structure, putting some structure in more in depth on.
Yeah.
You said something there about like when you're consulting your customers, and maybe we start to bring it to a close with that. So we've talked about base year. We've talked about kind of getting an understanding of the current lay of the land and maybe getting a few scores, or at least starting to regularly track the metrics around ESG. Do you have an example off the top of your mind, or any general suggestion that customers out there listening or companies out there listening can say, I want to go, where can I go next? What's my, what's my next step to get my base year? How do I get that lay of the land so then I can start projecting correctly towards that bigger goal?
Yeah. So I would say from this, I would go back to my company and I would assess my readiness, assess the company's readiness, assess the resource capacity, assess how fast you think the company would want to go, and assess if you are ready to take this journey, or assess where you want to be as you take this journey. There's also different levels. Do you want to be the leader? Do you want to be a smart follower? Do you want to be, you know, laggard at the moment? And then knowing that, you know, you have a plan for later, just assess where you think you want to play in this field, because I think that'll also figure out how much you want to try to take on. But then also at the same time, being realistic, how much capacity do you really have to do so? Or if you need to engage others, or if you need to lean on somebody else, or what does that look like? Who will be taking responsibility for how fast you want the ship steered? And then after you have all of that, because it's all really the foundational and the planning that comes into it, then it's a whole bunch of understanding. It's really just knowing now, what does your company do? What are the material topics in your industry? Where can you make the most impact? It's really a lot of self-awareness. So when a company understands their current state and really has that self-assessment, then it'll be easier for them to know where they can make the most impact when they realize where they want to go. So in terms of where this is heading, and some of the words that we're seeing and what I was mentioning earlier with standardization, comparability, transparency, accountability, and ownership, these are really going to be the resounding words and where we need to incorporate in all of our future decisions and how we plan to mature any of the programming we would like to upscale in embedding ESG in our discussions. So I think as you continue to think about where you're heading, I think it really starts with your foundation and your intention of what you want to do. So I'm just going to end it there because I feel like I can go much more further, but I really think it starts at home of where getting that self-assessment, understanding what it is you want to do, what is your intention, and then let that lead where you plan to go.
I love that. And actually, I mean, personally, I think that technology enables some of this. I call it almost like global mindfulness. So as an individual, I think a lot of us strive to be more mindful. And I think what technology is now doing is, yeah, well, of course, there's a dark side to this. Technology can pull us away from interactions with friends. And sometimes it's a time suck. And yeah, there's all that. But on the positive side of that, technology actually makes you more aware of where you're at. It helps you understand that lay of the land kind of foundationally underneath with how your company is operating. So the beautiful part to this, I think, is we have a lot of this data already. Like in the social column of ESG, you have a lot of the data to start to understand that base setting. And in the environmental aspect, you may not have that consolidated into a system, but you probably have it living in a system or a couple different systems out there to start to be able to consolidate it and get some more mindful practices around it. So while it may feel like a huge arduous effort, I would encourage everybody out there. And I think Trish, you're saying the same thing of like, you probably have a fair amount of this stuff at your fingertips. Now let's just let's use that technology to consolidate it and get more mindful around how to report on it on a regular basis. That can get you more aware of where you want to go for the future. Okay, one question, probably to end it, ESG-wise. So let's fast forward 5-10 years. Where do you see this bigger picture of ESG? How do you envision it in kind of the in-depth conversations that we have with clients, the overall understanding of where it lies within the business, and then maybe almost like the regularity of commonplace that it is in discussion? How do you view it as like a transformational effort for where we might go and how companies might operate?
Yeah, exactly. Like I would hope to see more in the future with all the interconnectivity, everybody not only having self-awareness of their company, but awareness of their whole ecosystem, to just understand to want to do this together for the goodness of everything. And I know that sounds probably really Disney, and I did grow up on Disney, but that's just what it is. Why can't we just do things for the niceness and the goodness of people and the planet? Like, that's the end story. Can we just be good people?
Well, I think we can, Trish. I mean, especially with people like yourselves at the helm of the next generation leading this charge and getting us all more mindful around ESG. I view this as a world where we can work in more symbiotic ways and be more mindful about how we leave it to the next generation behind us.
Right, exactly.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Trish. This has been a complete delight. We're signing off here on the Innovation Today podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Spencer Biemiller, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks so much.